is.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
Before we get going, Mass, quickly, you want to weigh in on last night's Yankees opponent?
So I was saying just now again, it's another part of the game that we didn't talk about was the A's. October, Oakland, lose every year. It's like no matter what this year is, what the roster looks like, who's pitching, starter, opener, closer, Jason Giambi, Chris Davis, it doesn't matter. You put the uniform on him and Billy Beane's a GM, you get him in Oakland, they lose. It's automatic every single time. Every freaking single time. What was that stat that Jimmy Stewart had? The last eight winner-take-all games that Oakland has played, they've lost. Every one of them. Eight times in a row, winner-take-all. Lose.
Going back to what year, Jimmy? What year did your sample start?
I think it was since Ken Maka was the manager.
I mean, holy crap. Like, the death taxes in the Oakland A's blowing up in October. It's the same thing every year. I mean, I say every year when they make it. It's really uncanny. Like, all this hype about watch over Oakland. Yeah, the A's are sneaky, Maz. Yeah, the A's are good. Yeah, they won 97 games. Yeah. Then they send some guy to the mound who you say bacon strip. I say sausage link in his shorts in the first inning, for crying out loud.
Well, mine's more a visual reference, you understand.
Completely craps his pants right there on the mound. Yankee Stadium, they're down 2-0, two batters into the game. Thanks for coming. See you next spring, Oakland. Like, same garbage every freaking time. It's uncanny.
So there's your leadoff thought there for the 4 o'clock hour. Your thoughts here. Jane Grafton on the Patriots. Go.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on Gronkowski playing tonight at the prospect of the Pats avoiding a 2-3 start with Kansas City coming to town next week, which is a pretty tough opponent. And given how much of a wild card Edelman is, I'll hang up and listen on the air. Thanks.
Okay, so they're hanging him because they got to get this one because you may not get the next one. I doubt that's their logic. Kind of it is. I would hate that logic.
No, the better logic is hold him out because we win this without him and we need him for the next one. Give him 2 weeks off.
And I would, I mean, that's better than what the caller proposed, but the real reason is you don't need him in October, period. You're still going to win your games. You're going to win your home games against these lousy AFC teams. Oh, who thinks they're not? I mean, again, like, there's that backlash from the Miami one. Like, see, they're fine. Like, who thought they weren't going to win these games? You are going to, there are enough horrible teams, mostly in the AFC. They're going to waltz in here and get their ass handed to them. And you're going to moonwalk backwards to 10 or 11 wins just purely on the bad competition. So you don't need Gronkowski tonight. Have you seen all these guys that are out for Indianapolis?
Oh my God! Like, I know it's
seven players.
No, Indy's not going to be able. They're going to have trouble to score in this game.
They're going to have trouble doing everything.
And I'm no fan of the Patriots' defense, even after last week. But Indy's going to have trouble scoring tonight.
I know these Thursday games get sort of goofy, but I just feel like you are going to absolutely shove it right down their gullet tonight. Gannon in Brookline, how'd you enjoy the goaltending last night for the Bruins?
Tuukka Rask, 2 U's, 2 K's. Touchdown. He is 111-5 against the Capitals. How did they not start Halak?
That's a really good point. Because then you know what they're doing, Gannon? They're basically admitting to the world, we don't really love our starter. We have to manage our starter.
Opening night, you're not going to play your starting goalie.
Opening night, banner raising, national TV. We have to we pay him $7 million a year. Yep. He's the third highest paid goalie in the league, but we can only really play him against certain teams, you see. What? I mean, it's the truth. It's the fact. But that would be quite... I mean, that's the statement if they sit him out last night. But maybe they should have. Maybe they should have.
That team owns them. That's 13 in a row now.
It's not even funny.
13 in a row.
Wes and
Peabody. And it's getting worse.
Wes and Peabody on the Marchand fight. Hi, Wes.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. If the NHL is going to suspend Marchand for that kind of stuff last night, the NHL is a joke. Now, I think that Marchand deserved every single suspension that he's got so far, but it's a joke. The NHL can't suspend him for stuff like that. The NHL will lose its beauty, which is, you know, if you're a clown, you have to answer for you. If you're a tough guy, you have a chance to prove. The NHL cannot suspend for that kind of stuff. Thanks, guys.
I'm with you. It doesn't seem like they are. Right, and if the league doesn't, I mean, Murray said, Friedman said he's in the lineup for tonight.
Yeah.
I'd still like to hear the, like, someone come out and say that, you know.
No disciplinary action right, on the part of the league.
Exactly. The league has let it be known there will be no supplemental discipline from our, like, that's when you know you're in the clear. I haven't seen or read that yet. But if they don't, especially given Marchand's track record, because you know, Marchand's going to get fined, suspended for things others wouldn't. He's going to get more games than others would.
Like no
this,
question.
Like this Tom Wilson. That wasn't a 20-game hit, but because the bullseye's on it. So Marchand's in that same category. If they don't do anything to Marchand...
Statement.
League is clearly sending a statement.
Absolutely.
On Eller is what they're sending the statement.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a bigger statement if they don't do anything to Marchand, given his history. They're basically saying, look, we're cracking down on a lot of the shady stuff. You know, the injury stuff. Because that punch, that you can get a concussion for that punch he hit him with. So the league is absolutely cracking down on that. But you know what? If you're going to be a tool bag, you deserve to get punched in the face. That's what the statement is going to be. Really? And I don't mean the actual, statement on a piece of paper. I mean that effectively what the league will be saying is, no, if you act like a tool, you deserve to get punched in the face.
As long as it's square up to your face, blindside cheap shots and head hunting hits and those things the league is cracking down on and they're right to. But is there still a place for a player who's acting like a jackass to get challenged to a fight? And if he loses the fight, he gets tuned up and, well, so be it. Don't act like a jackass next time. Is there still room in the game for that?
I'd be willing to bet. Like, again, I told you, if Marchand gets suspended, then I may look at the thing differently and go, you got to be kidding me. Like, with the bullseye on your back, you got to be a little smarter than that. That said, I told you I didn't mind it because he showed some emotion in it last night. So I'm kind of I'm middling it there a little bit. But, man, Eller, in a lot of ways, got what was coming to him.
I mean, I'll just say it again. They didn't send out Killer. You did not get Killer out there. I know they call him Nose Face Killer, but you didn't get a fighter. You got a guy who was 30 pounds lighter than you and 5 inches shorter than you.
What a punch.
And you turtled and you resorted to scratching his eyes out on the ice? Canadian. Matt in Framingham on the baseball. Hi, Matthew.
Well, yeah, before the baseball, I just wanted to mention Gronk. You know, with the Colts being depleted as they are with injuries, I don't think he should be out there unless he's in a red zone situation like Maz said. But the problem is what you said, Felda, the incentives. You know, he's not going to be happy with that. And as far as Edelman and replacing him, I don't think they were able to replace him because I think they wanted to replace him with running backs. And when they cut Gillislee for Hill and then Hill got hurt and then you get Burkhead hurt, you didn't have the ability.
Yeah, Matt. None of those guys are slot receivers. Why can't you replace a slot receiver with a slot receiver?
I just think out of the backfield they could almost kind of like think and dunk. But anyway, let me get to the baseball. I wanted to ask Maz. So Maz, what do you think about the bullpen? Do you think we should use our starters, or do you think we should use our regular bullpen guys? And also,
well, let me just stop there. How do you feel about them stacking the starters?
So I don't love it. I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to managing the staff. I recognize that the playoffs are different. And so as you get deeper in a series, I'm okay with more unconventional thinking. But I'll tell you what, with this Red Sox staff, I think you go game to game, man. Now, Sale's different. You're going to need to get 7 out of him, and even Price. But then after that, like if you're telling me there's a big spot with a lefty and you want to bring in Eduardo Rodriguez to get him in the fifth inning, I'm on board.
Of course.
I'm on board. I mean, with this staff, you don't have a choice. What other way are you going to do it? You don't have the answers there. You got to do it that way.
Mike and Wilburn on the Bees. Hi, Mike.
Well, Mike, if you're waving the Armageddon flag about the goalies, they better do something now. They can't wait for anybody to develop because this is the year that McAvoy, Carlo, and Donato are on their last affordable year of their contracts. Next year, all these things goes. This is a contending year, all right? So you need a goalie to contend with. Where was Thomas Greiss on that list of the top 30 goaltenders?
Not sure. Why?
Because that's the guy that beat out Halak for his job in the island. So Halak is – you're not contending with Halak either. This has been my issue all along with this, that the anti-Niemi pipe dream does not solve the equation for this team winning a cup, and your best chance is still with Rask. It's Mike, I'm not saying that Rask is elite or Rask is the best goalie in the league. He's your best option. And unless you have another option – you got to sort of go with what you have.
Well, let me see what Halak looks like. I mean, there was long stretches last year where Hudobin was better.
okay, do you remember when Halak was too emotionally involved to play when he got traded to the island to play the Blues?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I sort of my opinion of Halak is a little I'm a little skeptical about everybody else. And about Marchand, did you know that Eller had another fight with a Bruin previous to this?
No, so I thought it was his only fight, but no. What was it?
It was in the Winter Classic with Jimmy Hayes. Jimmy Hayes, who has about 2 inches on freaking Eller, couldn't do what 5'9", 280-pound Brad Marchand did, which is turn Eller's face into borscht.
So they said last night it was his only fight. I got hockeyfights.com up right now. Let me look at so I don't know whether how much to trust this either, because they have Marchand with 7 fights. Do you remember Marchand with 7 fights?
I mean, over that length of time, maybe. I mean, he gets into about 1 a year.
I mean, he's got, because he pulls so much crap, he gets challenged and he has to answer every now and then. But I don't even see Eller on their list.
It just goes to show you that a little anger will go a long way when you're 5'9". Seriously. Like, he was pissed off. And again, if people haven't seen this, because this was late in the game and it was 7-0, like, you got to find it. And it's on our Facebook page, but you find it. The punch he hits him with as Eller's going down, like, square on the side of the head.
Right on the button.
Oh, my God. Talk about getting cracked in the face. Like, he nails him. It's a great punch. It's worth finding.
Patriots, Colts, Edelman, Gronkowski, Red Sox, Yankees, all the Bruins stuff from last night. Back to your phones on all of it right after this.
Felger and Mez. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Now here's the 0-2. Caught on a miss. So Canna strikes out, and they're 2 away. And the chant, if you're wondering, what was that chant? Very simple. We want Boston. We're going to get him with one more out. Now here's Chapman's 1-2. Hit on the ground at first. Grabbed by Walker. Flips to Chapman in time. Ball game over. Wild card game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
I think they can't wait, and I think they're ready and relish the opportunity to go up against the game's best this year. And obviously, we're very familiar with them. We know how good they are. You know, I mean, we know we have to play our best if we're going to have a chance to beat them. You know, obviously, they're very tough at Fenway, but you know, I think you say the same for them probably. But I know our guys can't wait to get there and try and get it done.
Aaron Boone, Yankees manager there. The thing that stands out is the chant. Just think of the flip, Maz. Think of, historically, what a switch that is. We want Boston.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just...
ass backwards.
That is... has that ever existed before?
No.
I mean, you've been better than them certain years. No question about it. But to the point where they're chasing you, they're coming after you, you're the favorite, you're the one to be knocked off, they're the one coming up to knock you off, and it's just totally flipped. Totally flipped.
Complete role reversal. Again, historically, you know, I told you, there was always that, yeah, it's not really a rivalry. We're the windshield, you're the bug.
Now, what was the line Billy Martin had? I remember reading about it because I was too young at the time, but like during the 70s or something, it was like second-class team in a second-class town or something like that. Like, they were always kind of an afterthought.
Totally. Listen, and again, the cities don't compare. Like, the Yankees, like, people in New York look at Boston and say, are you serious?
It's a little village, as Robert Kraft said. Yes.
Oh, God, please. It's a nice place to wipe my shoes on the way home. Like, that's sort of how they look at it. So, but in this particular case, like... you know, this is uncharted territory for the Red Sox in a lot of ways. You know, even in they haven't played in the playoffs since 04. Okay, so start there. The Red Sox won the last one. But even going into that one, like, that was the Red Sox trying to finally catch up, finally win, and they had to make a historic comeback to do it.
In 04, were you still the wild card?
Yes.
Was it 03 that you tied? one of those years you were tied and you were just a wild card by the tiebreaker. And it didn't matter back then because both teams played five-game series, so it didn't matter. But I think you were still the wild card in 04, weren't
you?
Yeah, no, because Game 7 was in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't win that. I don't think they won the division until 07. Like, then, by that point, it had started to change.
You were still the underdog.
Yes, and then they didn't play in 07, right? They didn't go head-to-head.
And in 13, did the Yankees even make the playoffs?
No. No, they did not. That was, you know, so this is, again, this is one of those things where I look at it and I say, it's uncharted territory. Like, all of a sudden, the Yankees are coming for you. And there's no question there's more pressure on the Red Sox in this series.
How's that taste? Isn't it great?
It is. It's a little scary.
But isn't it great?
Sure.
They're treating you like the big brother. They're coming after you. That's never happened before. I don't know. I mean,
I just don't know if the Red Sox can handle it.
Can you? Can you, Red Sox fan? I mean, I've been here 30 years, but I don't know. I don't have.
Well, everyone collectively did it to themselves with this stupid record that, and I quote, should be celebrated. The 108 wins. I mean, all the pressure's on them because of the record.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. There's an enormous amount of pressure on them out of the gate. And again, the Yankees are looking at it saying, okay, fine, you won the division. What does that get you now? Get you an extra game at home. Good luck, because we're here to win three anyway. So, you know, I don't know. And they were just here. They took two out of three. Not that the Red Sox were trying. The game's clearly meant more to New York. But I don't know. I just felt like by the time you got to this stage, if the Yankees got through that play-in game, by the time you got to this stage, you weren't going to get the same Yankees you got in the regular season.
Okay. You can join us on that topic. We're all full, of course. As people jump off, you can jump on. We talked about Gronkowski. Why is he playing tonight? Two contrasting opinions, I believe, here. Phil and Revere, go.
Yeah, guys, why you need Gronk when you got Sony Michelle? But even hitting on that, like, you know, you had Ward out there. So many other positions you had to hit. Like you guys said, a backup for Edelman. Like, all these positions you had to hit on defense. I mean, you needed a D-back. You needed a slot guy. You needed all these guys, and you picked up Sony Michelle. And everybody's riding this kid like he's the next. Like, when you need a Devlin to come in, to this kid should be able to swiggle through any hole they make, never mind a gap. You know,
Phil, yep. Your comment line said sit Gronk. Give me a second on that. Why? You weren't ready to go. Comment line said sit Gronk. You didn't want to talk about it. Big Daddy and Leominster, should Gronk play tonight?
Well, yes, and I'll tell you why, Mike. First of all, you know, I don't want to kill you. I thought it was idiotic saying don't play. But one thing I'm sick of, like, Gronk, I love him, of course he's great, but they treat him like a China doll. He's a football player. Play the game, you know? That's the first. But
okay.
The second point where I wanted to tell you is a stupid statement. Face it. You know, this isn't a layup game. Yeah, they're a 10-point favorite, but you have to win these games based on the seedings. And do you want to go and play three games and end up playing either A in Kansas City or in Jacksonville for a title game, maybe?
Big Daddy, if you lose this game, you got issues that are beyond Gronk's health. If you lose this game, you got issues.
This game should be a layup.
Layup. Layup. But I'll tell you what, even if it's not a layup, you need Gronkowski at the end of the year. You don't need him now.
See, that's where I disagree with the whole idea of, you know, these guys are football players. Gronk gets hurt all the time. I mean, and the plays that he's most effective in are the ones that expose him to the greatest risk. If you're going to win a Super Bowl, you need this guy.
So why is he playing? The per-game roster bonuses. I said 67,000 before. The standard number is 62.5, which is a million divided by 16. So you got $1 million roster bonus per game at 62.5 a week. His per-game roster bonuses are 110. So he makes 110,000 just being on the game day roster. Could it be that the Patriots are just activating him to get him the 110 because they want to keep him happy and he's not even really going to play much?
Sure.
Okay? So,
yeah, I wouldn't rule that out.
So him being on the active roster is a difference of 110 grand. Boom.
Does he have one based on snap counts?
He also has a $1.1 million season incentive in playing time. He's got to play 80% of the snaps. Last year, in which he missed two games, right, he played 79% of the snaps. Now, I'm pretty sure that's all the team snaps. I don't know if you don't play in the game, is it just your percentage, or I'm not sure, but either way, he gets a $1.1 million for playing 80% of the snaps this year. So whether he's a factor in the offense, whether he's being thrown to, just being out there, okay, certainly being in uniform gets him 110 grand, And being out on the field, just taking snaps, gets him closer to 1.1. So there's money on the table.
Oh, yeah, no. So when you weigh it out like that, it's money related. I mean, those are big dollars. You know, 110 a game. And the other thing is, I looked it up earlier, first game of the year, 100% of the snaps. Game two, 95. Game three, 100. Now, game four, the number slipped to 67%, but he came off the field. They were up big.
And he pulled himself off the field. He's the one that waved to the sideline.
Right, so he was hobbling. But going into week four, I think literally he had missed like five offensive snaps all year. Okay, I think it was five that he missed in week two. So, and I remember, I think it was Mike Reese who wrote about this after week one, that he was on the field for every offensive snap, which typically in a lot of other years, you never see.
Why are you doing that?
No, he's never out there. The only guys that are out there 100% typically are the quarterback and the offensive line.
Continue.
That's it.
Continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. And the most important factor in Red Sox Yankees, the number one issue in this series, Maz will give it to you again right after Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's the 2-1 to Judge. Swung on. There it goes, deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. A Judgian blast. Aaron Judge hit one over the auxiliary scoreboard, over the grandstand, into the bleachers. All rise. The Judge. So the Yankees jump out to a 2-0 lead.
Biggest factor in this series might be home field, according to Maz. And boy, you saw it last night. If you were you forgot what it was like at Yankee Stadium, you were reminded last night. The place was a zoo. And again, this is just an aside. This is apropos of nothing, but the demographic makeup of that crowd to me blew me away. It's a sausage fest. What? All dudes. All dudes. All middle-aged white dudes hanging on each other.
Yeah, Joey Buttafuoco in the stands.
Buttafuoco, 50,000 Joey Buttafuoco. Like, is someone going to bring their kids or a girlfriend? Like, you span the Fenway crowd and, you know, there's kids.
Oh, it's families.
There's Aunt Millie. There's grandma up there, you know, interspersed with some bros. And, like, it's not a very ethnically diverse crowd. I'll give you that at Fenway. But it's, you know, at least there's some women. Some. And there's some kids. This Yankee crowd, they're all freaking...
Honey, October is here. You're staying home.
It's unbelievable. But anyway, that building's insane. And the Yankees in that building are a force to be reckoned with. What are the numbers?
So this is one of the, this is part of what I was trying to explain to people during the course of the year. Okay. Which is, you know, when I said back in like May or April or whenever it was that the Red Sox went in there and Matt Barnes and Joe Kelly couldn't throw a strike. So you're going to be able to do this in New York? I'll even say Houston would look like it was nuts last year. But are these guys going to be able to go into Yankee Stadium in October and get a big out in the eighth inning? Do you remember what that's like? And I admit it, before last night, I had forgotten it too. Like, you see it. It is, they are bloodthirsty. It's like the, you know, you feel like you're at the Coliseum, for crying out loud, and they're just ready to relish your demise, for crying out loud. They are. They're bloodthirsty mongrels, for crying out loud. That's what it feels like down there. And so this year at Yankees, well, first of all, let me back up with the Yankees. This incarnation of the Yankees, and I'm talking about Sanchez, Judge, Gregorius, Severino, Stanton's obviously new, but this era of the Yankees, which started really last year, maybe the end of the year before, they have played 7 postseason games at home, and they've won them all. They're 7-0 in New York, and I don't think that is...
And what's the aggregate score?
42-14. So last night, 7-2. The one before that was 5-0. There's an 8-1. There's 7-3.
40. They've outscored teams 42-14 and are 7-0 at Yankee Stadium the last 2 years.
Right. It's an average score of 6-2. Okay. Which is a blowout. I mean, so that's what you're going to get going down there. They haven't lost in that building since they've been together. And now the good news, if you're on the Red Sox side of it, is that the Red Sox typically, when they are championship caliber, are also very tough to beat at Fenway Park. They have a huge advantage at Fenway Park. And I think the numbers even, you know, bear out in the regular season this year. The Red Sox went 7-3 against the Yankees at home. They went 3-6 on the road. Like that's just how this is going, and it's a little unusual in playoff baseball to have a series go that way.
Right.
But I think you could get that in this series.
Okay, home field. It's not usually, as Matt says, usually not a defining characteristic in baseball. It might be in this series, given what New York is like and how well you play in your building.
That place is a zoo when they're like that. It's a zoo.
All right, Patrick in the car, your thoughts on the Sox. Hello, Patrick. Is he up, Jimmy? Okay. You can call us back, 617-779-0985. Peter in New Hampshire, do you have a thought on Rob Gronkowski?
Maybe we're having a problem with
Mike, I think our phone system's frozen.
Oh, boy.
Peter, are you there?
Well, we've seemed to run into an issue. We've got, we've got Max and Cohasset. Sweeney failed the offseason. Frank the Tank, Marshan fight. Want to just do Frank the Tank for me?
Sure, yeah, yeah. Last night, watching that was like porn to me, Felger. I wanted to attack my roommate and suffocate him with my pillow. All I did was spend all day at home buttering myself and watching that video on a loop. I love the violence.
It's that kind of action that got me thrown out of the Bruins Wives Carnival. Which he's always quick to add. I love him.
Jimmy's going to try and do it. Pull up Frank. Frank, you there? Go ahead. What did you think of Marchand last night?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Last night I dove into Orlando Lake's heaven built on a stairway of country crock lids. I mean, that was... Look, see, this is what the people that don't watch hockey enough or don't get it or just flat out just want to bash on the sport. Sometimes you're going to get your ass kicked. And you know what? At least Marchand did it the right way. You guys know I don't defend him on the stuff that he does. Quite frankly, I don't like him because he doesn't play with any honor. But last night, at least, yeah, he instigated the fight and he probably threw the first punch, but it was so juicy. That guy deserved to get his face turned into hamburger. It's fine. It's okay. No one died. The earth is still spinning. That is what hockey needs. And those punks in New York at the league offices, you need to learn to embrace that kind of violence. Let humans hurt other humans.
Okay, Frank, thanks for the call. It's predictable.
No, it's like a PSA. Let humans hurt other humans.
Brought to you by the Ad Council
for Frank the Tank.
For inhumane treatment to humans. I'm with Frank on this, almost to a T. I've been a huge Marchand critic over the years. Pretty much every incident he's gotten in, he's deserved, meaning I've been in favor of the punishment against him. Whether the low bridge of Sammy Sallow, the spearing to the groin a couple of years ago, that elbow last year, totally gratuitous and cheap, the trip to Niskin, there's just been a million of them with this guy. And he's deserved everything that he's gotten, and I don't like the way he plays either. I don't like him sneaking up behind people and trying to hurt him. I hate that. I have no use for that. This, he challenged the guy to the fight. The guy kind of wanted it, but didn't really. And he got popped. And it was square up. And it was, to me, there is a place in the game for that. And I'm with Marshawn on that. Frankly, the guy that I blame in the situation is Eller. You big Sally. I'm serious. So you're going to taunt the bench. And we can debate whether that was, like, you know, I'm not telling you that was the worst thing I've ever seen or he deserves to get beat up or anything. But if you're going to taunt the whole bench and celebrate like that in front of the bench at 7-0, in the back of your mind, you should be prepared. Maybe I'm going to have to answer for this. You know, because again, this isn't the NBA where you can just run and hide, or this isn't baseball where they issue warnings and you're not allowed to touch anybody. This is still hockey. And if you're going to do that, just understand someone might take it the wrong way and you may have to deal with something. So here comes Marchand. What does he do? He's got 30 pounds and 5 inches on Marchand. 30 pounds and 5 inches, and he turtles like that and allows little Marshmont to beat the bag out of him. I look at Eller. I look at Eller and say, what do you expect? He's going to waltz in front of a bench and taunt him like that, not expecting anything. And oh, by the way, they sent the right guy. They did not send Dave the Hammer Schultz after you. It's not like you had to deal with Stan Jonathan there. You weren't dealing with some major pugilist or
O'Reilly.
Some monster. He was Marshmont. 5'9", 180, who's barely fought and sucks at fighting. So the right guy came after you. No one was picking on you. It was someone in your class. In fact, you outweighed him by 30 pounds and 5 inches. And you allow him to tune you up like that? Because you're a still scaredy cat Montreal Canadian? Sorry, Lars. No sympathy.
Well, look, and he instigated the thing. There's no two ways about him.
When you say he.
Marchand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Marchand totally did.
He jumped him.
I mean, but even though he jumped him, like the fight was had sort of stabilized and they were kind of wrestling when the linesman started to come over. So, and then they started throwing punches again and Eller threw some too. And oh my God, did Marchand cold cock him. He just totally hammered him on the side of the head. Again, I keep saying this. We put the video on our Facebook page. You got to watch the slow-mo of the punch at the end. It is an absolute freaking broadside. He popped him right in the helmet. I mean the head. What a shot. It's worth watching.
If I'm Eller, if anyone should be demanding justice, it should be Eller and should be on the ice. If I'm Eller, well, I'm not because I'm the biggest puss you'll ever see in your life. But I'm putting I'm putting myself in an NHL player's spot. If I'm Eller.
If you're his teammates.
If I'm his teammate, I'm looking at Eller going, really, dude? First of all, you taunt the whole bench, so you should have been expecting something. And then you let that little rat tune you up? The guy who was sticking his tongue down everybody's throat last year? That little rat at 5'9", 180, who can't even fight? You let him do that to you? If I were his teammates, and if I'm Eller, I'd want Marchand the next time. If I were Eller, I'd feel the need to atone and get Ben, you know, restore my name after that.
I'm telling you, if the league, the part that would, if Marchand gets suspended or some sort of discipline, I'll be pissed. Like, I mean, I'd be pissed, not at the league, I'll be pissed at Marchand because I'd be like, man, they're undermanned as it is. Like, they can't afford to lose him. And with his reputation, it's risky. It is. It's risky. But if the league doesn't suspend him, and I admit that that's totally like depending on what the ultimate justice is. I'll be mad at Marchand if that happens. But if the league doesn't suspend him, in a lot of ways, that's a bigger statement.
It is because all Marchand has to do is sneeze, and the league's going to suspend him because he had so many priors. They're out for him. And if they let this go, that's a statement about Eller.
And you know what? If you listen to the commentary of it too, when they, you know, when they went through the whole sort of sequence on the broadcast last night, once they sort of reckon, oh, okay, there's Eller waving at the bench. That's what it is. Like, even they know he deserved it. Or it felt like he had it coming.
Well, I
told you, I don't know the protocol.
And I'm not telling you he deserved it, quote unquote. That's a little strong, but you got to expect something there. You got to have in your mind that some teams may let you get away with it. Some may not. There's 20 guys sitting on the bench. You got to just assume that you might have pissed one of them off. And when the smallest on the team comes after you and you allow them to clock you like that, it's on Eller. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Smith-Pelly protects high slot. Eller with a drive, and it's blocked. And behind the play, it's Eller. And Marchand grabs him, and he's slugging right hands away. Marchand giving away some size. Eller at 6'3". Marchand going about 5'9". And Marchand just flattened him with a right hand at the bottom of the left wing circle.
Celebration was unnecessary. He took an angle in front of my bench and celebrated a 7-0 game. So, just let him know.
It does sound so barbaric, doesn't it? Why'd you do that? I mean, he beat the bag out of him. He pummeled him. Why? The celebration was unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
He took a bad angle. This is what you just heard the cut, but in case you missed it, he took an angle in front of our bench and celebrated a 7-0 game. So I just let him know. These guys are animals. These hockey players.
That's old school, man. That is. That's old school, old school. That's the kind of crap that happened in the NHL game 34 years ago that made it what it was.
I mean,
I'm not complaining.
And I don't mind it. I don't mind it. And call me an a-hole, but I look more at Eller than I do at Marchand. Like, Eller, you got to be ready to go. And if a guy that size, much smaller than you, and that's going to be your fight, like, these guys, you know, most of them don't want to fight. Like, who wants to get their nose punched in? Like, I'm not saying they want to do this, but you got to pick your spot. Amante told me that when he played, you know, fighting was still a part of the game, but it wasn't what it used to be, but he was still expected to fight. So in the early part of the year, he'd always find a guy in sort of his class, meaning not a real fighter, but not a little dude either, somewhere, you know, and just take the fight, get it out of the way, and do it. And so now you've fought, and now you don't got to do it again, and you've proven yourself, and you've, you know, and, you know, once a year in October, November, he would just do it, get out of the way, and okay, now I'm done. I don't have to fight.
Like a rite of passage.
Right?
Yeah, an initiation.
And so if I'm Eller, I'm sitting there going, well, this is one, like, I can handle this one. I'm going to take this one. And the next one, you might not be able to. So, like, I mean, I don't know if it's even gone so far that that doesn't even exist anymore, but, dude, you got to be able to handle Brad Marchand.
Oh, I don't think it exists anymore. And I'm telling you, with Eller, there's got to be a history there, too, right? With all the Canadian stuff and everything else. I mean, he played there for a long time. You know, penalty killing forward, kind of a pain in the ass, like all of that. You know, so to me, there had to be a baseline there of, like, screw you. You know, fine. So you're a Capital now, but to us, you're still a Canadian. You're still a wheat. Like, there had to be something there because the trigger was short.
Jerry in the car, your thoughts. You're up next on Felger and Mass.
There's absolutely a history there. He is an ex-Wuss Canadian, and it goes way back. And he's the guy that's big that goes in the corner, Eller, that is, and he doesn't back it up. And I loved every minute of that. That game was frightening other than that point in the game. I mean, he had every right to do that to Eller. Eller, his gloves were glued to his hands. He didn't want to fight a guy half his size. It was a joke. He deserved every smack he got.
Okay, see, I think you just take it a little too far. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Like, that's, I'm not going all the way there. I'm just telling you, if you're Eller, you got to expect it. And I don't know how you look yourself in the mirror the next morning, that you let that guy tune you up like that. Go up and look some of Marchand's fight. Look, watch Marchand try to fight PK Subban a couple of years ago. Do you remember this?
Vaguely.
Where it was at the Garden, and they tried to go once, and they got broken up, and then they came right out. They got thrown in the box, and then I think they came right out of the box. One of those, like one of those big shows where, you know, they open the doors, they both step out, they both, like, it was just comical. Like, they both took all this time to take off their elbow pads and take all, and then they got together, and it was a purse fight. Like, no one landed anything. It was a joke. And so, good God, Lars. That's the guy that you're going to allow just completely tune you up after you, debatable, kind of asked for it?
No, listen, I mean, so I get that part of it. I told you, I'll be pissed, though, if Marchand ends up doing something that results in a suspension, you know, or if this results in a suspension, because he'll have no one to blame but himself.
Okay.
So that's a part of it I find hard with him, because Cassidy clearly loved it. Right? Cassidy loved it.
Oh, I loved Cassidy's quote. He says, that's good. I mean, like, you know, they're doing topics of this on ESPN, like, you know, the barbarism of the sport, and, you know, Marchand assaults a guy for waving after a goal. You know, Marchand, you know, beat someone about the head just because he celebrated a goal. It seems a little barbaric, right? And Cassie says, no, that's good. He's a proud guy. I think Eller was celebrating a little on a 7-0 goal. That's his prerogative. Marshy let him know that's not acceptable.
I love that, too. It was unnecessary.
Well, Cassidy was just probably happy that someone showed emotion last night because the rest of them didn't show up.
So this is, I mean, if you're worried about the team and how they're going to start, tonight's interesting. Like, so you have a reason now to rebound. You've got a great, you know, rebound point off of last night. I mean, what an embarrassment. And, you know, Marchand did his thing at the end of the game. You're in Buffalo. What kind of start are the Bruins going to get out to? I think you'll find out tonight.
It's a good question. I got to say, in all honesty, I'm a little worried about him at the start of this season. I mean, I'm not telling you what the year's going to be. I just, they didn't feel ready to me. I think I said that to you a couple of days ago. Between the China trip, injuries, you know, Krug, Bergeron didn't play a lot. Like, all of it. All of a sudden, you got to open in Washington against the Stanley Cup champs. That just felt like a smoke show waiting to happen.
Well, you nailed it.
Okay, but again, you know, so what? Like, fine, blind squirrel. But then if they come out stink tonight?
Bad sign.
Oh, boy, is it a bad sign.
Bad sign. All right, but at least you got a goalie in there tonight, Halak starting. So at least you got a shot. At least he'll be awake, I think, from the opening face-off. I hope, anyway.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.